This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee, and my name is Dave Adelson. I'm Chair Pro Tem. We have a proposed agenda that was circulated earlier today, and we're going to make, I think, some changes to it based on availability and potential availability. But the first item in the agenda, which I think we should do before we approve the agenda, is introductions, if that's okay. Casey, could you call the roll, and then when Casey calls your name, if you could just introduce yourself, since some of the folks are new?
I'm afraid I can't call the roll. I don't have a list of committee members.
Okay, then I'll call the roll.
Okay.
So,
sorry.
From BFW, Warren Turner? Not present. Mark Roberts? Also not present. KPFT, Sandy Weinman?
He will be here shortly. I just talked to him.
Okay. Mike Martin?
Here.
And you just want to introduce yourself?
I'm Mike Martin, KPFT, Houston.
National Board Rep.
National Board Rep, right.
KPFA, Marnie Tattersall.
I'm the Treasurer.
Okay. And LaVarne Williams.
Hi, this is LaVarne Williams. I'm the PNB member from KPFA.
Okay. From WBI, Baruti Vediaco.
Hello, I'm Baruti. I'm the Treasurer of the local LSB.
And Patty Heffley, sorry,
Patty. Hi, this is Patty Heffley. I'm a PMB member from WBAI.
Okay, LA, Casey McFall.
Hi, I'm Casey. I'm the Treasurer Pro Tem at KPFK.
Okay, and I'm Dave Adelson from KPFK Signal Area. And Lonnie Hicks.
Here at National Office.
Great. And I think, is Dan Coughlin still on the line?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, Dan's still here.
Okay.
Wow.
Dan is not a member of the committee formally, but he's sitting in. He's CED. Okay, so the agenda that was proposed was introductions, approval of minutes, six people is quorum for this committee, and we have 8 members present. So it was introductions, approval of minutes, nominations of officers, review of action items, review of PMB finance resolutions, CFO report, review of November and December financials, and the WBI budget situation update. And given that the CFO may have to leave, I think we should bump item 6 up to following the approval of minutes. And I'd also like to do, actually, it may be quick. I'd like to do 5, 6, and 7, and then do the nominations and the review of action items. Is that all right with people?
A second.
Is there any, why don't you?
I move your objection. I move your proposal, Dave. This is Mike.
Okay. Any objection? Okay. If there's no objection, then let's just go right into it. There is one more item that we need to add, and that is the scheduling of the next meeting. And we'll do that last.
This is Sandy in Houston joining.
Hey, Sandy.
I told you Sandy would make it.
Great.
If Mike says it, you better believe it.
I'm just eagerly awaiting Mark's return. Okay, so first thing, review of PMB finance resolutions. So the PMB in December passed some resolutions about regular reporting, and my understanding is that Dan's on the line and wanted to update us on those resolutions.
Yep. Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Thank you. I just mentioned before the call officially started, I noticed the item on the agenda this morning and wanted to alert the Finance Committee members that the general managers and the business managers are aware of the resolution and they're working on it, and they have some issues related to implementation which they would like to share with the committee and indeed the full board. So that communication should be coming to you very shortly. Within the next week, you'll get a letter from general managers and business managers about some issues around implementation of those resolutions.
Can you give us just some idea of what the implementation issues are?
Yeah, I don't really want to prejudge that at this point because they're working on it locally with their local business managers and looking at the resolutions and seeing how they might be implemented. So I don't want to, I think it would be a little unfair of me to leap into that discussion right now since those issues are still being worked out a little bit. As you know, most of the station's general managers, business managers, indeed all station staffs are prioritize their winter fundraising right now. So this is that's what they're working on right now, but they'll get to their concerns or issues around implementation as soon as possible.
Okay, is there any comment on this from the committee?
I'm a little confused on, I really don't, Dan, this Mike, understand exactly what you mean by implementation. We're talking about the distribution of financial information, are we not?
No, I don't. I think it's like a little bit more detailed. For instance, there's some, I don't have the resolutions right in front of me, but if I recall, there's some fairly specific requests in the resolutions asking the business managers, for instance, to provide a certain type of data, you know, I forget, notes on every line item in the budget that is 10% over variance. And obviously that, with the line items totaling, I think the last time I looked, there was like 1,262 different lines in the budgets that we publish. And so therefore, you know, you're talking about quite a review that has to take place to look at some of these resolutions and to see, you know, exactly what the business managers and general managers can do with these resolutions in terms of implementation. So they do raise a number of questions at the local level with staff, general managers, and business managers, and they're going to bring some of those concerns to my attention and to your attention as well.
Well, just one follow-up, and then I'll stop. I'm looking at, for example, one of your budgets right now, and if you've published budgets, you know, for the past 2 or 3 years, similar in this format, and we're looking for a variance on line items, heck, if we just got all the budgets and looked at them ourselves, we could probably identify the variances. Maybe we can help you out in that regard, so that maybe it would be better for us to look at some of the areas that look unusual to us and then ask you about them. You know, that might be something that would.
Yeah, I think that again, I don't know the detail on this, so I'm a little hesitant to speak about it.
Yeah, Mark, Mike, that would be a helpful way to proceed. That's one suggestion I know they have. They said that exceptions would be a way to go in terms of questions you folks had.
Well, I just need to collect them all, but I mean, I don't think it would be that hard to do. I mean, I've got 2004 sitting in front of me. If I could look at, you know, 2003 and 2002 and, you know, 2001, after looking at what you put up on the web, you know, that those are probably the relevant years. I think, you know, we could ask a lot of questions about variances and why they exist.
Well,
yeah.
If I may, the point of the motion was exactly that, so that we don't spend our time on these calls sort of going through all that, that you just have the written notes, which we were getting, you know, some written notes on these things that established the standard for which there would be a note. A lot of things are of the sort that, for example, a given budget amount is amortized over the year in the way the budget's constructed. So you see a certain amount and the same amount showing up every month, but you get these wild variances every month just because the money hits episodically, not evenly.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Dave. That is one of the concerns there, as you're talking about essentially a seasonal operation. So you may be getting, and indeed I know it is the case, that on a monthly produced budget, you may be getting quite a few wild variances that don't necessarily make sense. And I know that was one issue that I did hear coming from the folks in the stations and some of their concerns about those issues. But again, I'd rather if maybe you hear from them directly, and you'll hear directly from them real soon on how on some of their concerns and some of their solutions.
This is Lauren.
Go ahead.
Can you? Sorry. Yeah, I'm just a little concerned here because I think that with KPFA, I mean, previously, and Lois is still new, and she's working really hard on these things in terms of, but the previous business manager, she would give little explanations of major variances. But I think that if we go to this format that you're suggesting, Dan, where they're gathering this stuff and they're going to send a letter to us and then we're going to send a letter back, you know, I can see in June we'll still be debating this, that perhaps we need to move this forward so that perhaps we can have a little working group so that we can, maybe they can send some stuff to some of us on the Finance Committee. We can kind of look at those things. We can kind of work with them and talk with them in terms of what we're looking for rather than, like, have to look at this long list, laundry list of why they can't provide something that we've asked them to provide. That, you know, I think there's some way so we can communicate with each other and what we need, what we've asked for, and what they think they can provide so that these questions can be answered before we negotiate this back into, like, September this year.
I also think one of the issues is also going to be the local questions to make sure that at the local level that the implementation makes sense, and so that's another concern, is to make sure there's the local involvement and the community involvement and the LSB involvement there.
This is Mike again. I kind of agree with LaVarne. If there's some way we could kind of cut to the chase scene, I think that would be helpful. And if we could help expedite that, I think Dave brings a very good point up about the amortization issue as something that might be a complicating factor in evaluating some of this. But it seems like we ought to be able, if we could accumulate some of the data, take a look at it, you know, maybe have just, you know, kind of a cut to the chase scene. What are the major head note issues that we're concerned about? And then we can kind of take it from there and start evaluating specifically.
And, yeah, this is LaVarne again. Maybe I can propose something now, like each one of us on the committee go out to the business manager as soon as we can, the first of next week, look at what the concerns are, try to, like, look at what we think our questions or what we can do and try to, like, develop something together versus, like, you know, because, I'm just looking at, you know, some negotiating this out in September of 2010 or something. So, you know, just kind of get to what it is, what the concerns are, you know, working together, you know, see what they are, and then we can, then whatever document is produced, then we can understand what some of the issues are so we can start addressing them at the same time rather than waiting.
Well, this is Dave. I think that the committee, the Finance Committee itself, is the appropriate place to work out any implementation issues. And we, in the past, had met every other week. So I think that we could, if we get this information from them, I don't think we need a resolution that people can go and talk to the people in the local stations about it to get some information and move it forward. But if we're getting data from them in the next week, we can communicate on the list. And I would think and hope that we could resolve any issues and come to some agreements on the next Finance Committee call so that we're set.
Well, if I can jump in just
please
for a second, Lonnie, I think that that there are two points to be made. I don't see why the communication can't take place between the treasurers and the GMs and the business managers and expedite things that way. But a secondary issue is what is going to be the level of detail that the Finance Committee itself will be involved in over the course of this year. My preference is that we do look, let the detail happen where the detail can be best explained, that is at the local level. But we intake that information, but not be bogged down at every Finance Committee going over 1,200 lines of detail. I really feel that we in the Finance Committee must look at the larger financial policy issues facing the network and not go over 1,200 lines of finance material. So, and I think we need to identify those work plans around dealing with those larger issues here at this level. That's the charge of the National Finance Committee. And
go ahead, Casey, and then Baruti, and then I'd like to speak to that.
Lonnie, I understand exactly what you're saying as far as us getting bogged down in detail, but I honestly don't understand how we can avoid that if we don't have the information. That's what bogs us down, I would think, that if we had all of the information that's been requested, we can review it, say, yeah, looks good, now let's talk about the big issue items. But until we get what we need, I don't see how we can address big issues.
Baruti?
What I was going to suggest was that, I was going to mention two things. One, the resolution that dealt with the expense side of the budget. Maybe with the report that they bring back, they could indicate that this would require them to look at, X number of lines, so we would know basically what's involved. you know, with the resolution for expenses as it stands now. So they say, well, listen, if we follow this particular resolution, we'd have to explain 150 lines or something like that. You know, right now we really don't know what the volume of work that is, that's entailed with following a particular resolution. And then the second thing I wanted to mention was that I had did a subsequent, the committee asked me to come back with a resolution for the income side, which I also, I submitted to the committee. I don't know if anybody got a chance to read that, but it's consistent with the expense side. But primarily, I just wanted to suggest that when they bring their suggestions or their critique back to us, that they quantify basically what the problem is, that they would have to look at 100 lines or 200 lines, whatever they, you know, find out from trying to attempt to implement the resolutions that we've given them.
Yeah, and all I'm hearing is what we want to do is get a sense of the dimensions of the implementation issues. That's all we're at that point trying to get that information. I think we all agree we want it so we can move forward once we know scope of what may be involved. Some of the things might be easy to do, and of course we would want to go ahead and do those. And some of them may require more work. So I'm saying that information is what we need, and that crucial part of it is, well, what's going to be involved? You know.
Okay. My own comment on it is that I can understand implementation of something like the variance item, because that is something that, you know, obviously we don't want people to have to do. Meaningless work. The issue of getting the variance report getting written notes is that there's a long-term record of it, and that way we don't spend that time. And certainly in the budgets that I was getting from on the local finance committee from our business manager previously, we had all of that stuff, all of the meaningful written notes were in there. So we might, for example, just request that any meaningful thing that's different than, you know, the seasonal things be in there. But the issue for me is that there are some other issues in there that are about very clear things, like, for example, getting the MEMSIS report, which is something that can just be punched up and become a regular report, getting the headcount report, things like that, getting the income statements to the local finance committee. And so if it's a question of the, you know, not meaningful issues, but there's a whole bunch of scut work that's associated in the written variance explanations, that's one thing. If it's substantive objections to the provision of these reports, that's another thing. And so I don't think we can see that until we see the letter that we're going to get.
Dave, if I could follow up on that. I agree in spirit with what Dave just said, and that we shouldn't necessarily overwhelm staff with, you know, having to explain every line item. But, I mean, I served on the House Appropriations in Texas in the legislature, and, I mean, I promise you the devil is in the details. And I think it's incumbent upon us as a finance committee to look at all of those line items, and if we identify something in addition to what staff may identify as overall variances that might need to be explored, I think it's kind of a two-way street. And, you know, staff can meet part of its responsibility, and then I think it's incumbent upon us to look at this budget, and if we got some questions in the details, in the line items, I think it's incumbent upon us to explore those questions with staff, you know, assuming they've got the time and we give them the time to answer the questions.
I agree. I'd like to move the agenda, if there's no further comment, with the proviso that we agree that this be an agenda item at the next meeting of the committee, which I expect will be in 2 weeks, and that we try and prioritize agreements on all aspects of implementation that are possible, and then work out, you know, an action plan for anything where there's differences of opinion. Is that acceptable to people?
Yeah, I think it sounds like an agenda item that will perpetuate through the rest of the year.
I agree.
I have a question, Ms. Patty.
Please.
Some of the motions that were passed at the PNB meeting, certainly the ones of the monthly MEMSIS on air fundraising reports, or the headcount reports, just how difficult are these things to get? Have these been hanging around for like more than a month now, right, or longer for implementation? Is there just we're supposed to just be able to go to the business manager and get that? Is there any problem with myself going down there and getting that from Indra?
My understanding was the point of the motion was that there would indeed be the ability of the treasurer to get that information directly through the GM for use of the finance committee. So that was the actual intention of the motion.
Yeah, the Memphis reports, I'm just speaking from WBL, we've gotten Memphis in that. We're making that a regular part of our finance committee meeting, the distribution of the Memphis reports. We haven't dealt with headcount or anything like that, but Memphis...
The headcount is not going to the locals. The headcount
right.
is for the national finance.
For the national, right.
Okay, is there anything else?
This is Laura.
Please.
You said that the headcount is going to the national, so you're saying that... Basically, the headcount report will come from Liney out of the national office. Is that the point that you made, Dave?
The members of the National Finance Committee will be provided by their local business manager.
Okay, right.
With monthly headcount reports.
Precisely.
But it doesn't go to the local finance committee.
Right, exactly. Okay, so the point that Patty made about just going to Andrew, in my case, going to Lois to get the headcount report, is there an issue with that at this time? That's the question.
The motion passed by the PNB calls for that to be the chain of communication.
Right. So the question...
Can you clarify, what is the chain of communication now? Can any LSB member go and ask for the headcount?
Nope. It's item 7 on the email I sent. It's
mm-hmm.
members of the National Finance Committee will be provided by their local business manager with monthly headcount reports.
Okay.
Any chance we could move the agenda to the CFO report?
I'm sorry, this is LaVarne. I didn't get an answer. The question was, is there an issue at this point with me going to Lois to get the headcount report? Or is this part of this whole package of letter and response?
Are you asking for a response?
I'm asking for a response from Liney, yes.
Okay.
Or Dan. I think Dan is the one who had summarized it into a letter and they needed to respond.
Well, if we're going to handle this in terms of each station, that's different. If we're going to handle it in terms of their overall process and having it be sort of the same, but each station is standardized, I'd say let's wait for the letter, see what these folks have to say about what they perceive to be concerns, issues, and possibilities. If we talk in a week, we talk in a week.
Okay, I don't think that's satisfactory because, number one, the headcount report specifically is a report that's already produced. We're not asking for anyone to produce anything additional. We're asking for
accurate, LaVarne. That is not accurate.
Why not?
They don't routine. Some stations don't do routine headcounts. They don't.
Why?
Say they're going to have to tool up to do them, and that's what they want to speak to. Okay, this is what it's going to take, et cetera. So a lot of assumptions about how easy stuff is not true at Pacifica. And so you want to let the folks who are going to have an opportunity to their intake.
And this is Marnie. I'd just like to say headcount isn't easy anywhere, not just at Pacifica.
Yeah.
It's a bitch. It's a real bitch. And I know that at me and talking to Lois, I'm not aware that she's got it ready to give me if she even had it.
Can you elaborate on that just a little bit, Marty? I mean, why is it difficult?
Because basically accounting departments work with dollars and cents, not with heads. And so when you're getting into with heads and part-time heads and the number of people paid and how many hours they worked and the amounts they were paid, is just more complex. You're going to whole other databases to try to pull that kind of information than just dollar and cents kind of information, in my experience.
This is Casey.
Casey, please.
Well, my experience in nonprofit accounting is that you have to have FTEs, full-time equivalents, that then go directly back into your accounting system. Otherwise, so you may have an FTE that's paid half-time on out of one pot and half-time out of another or out of three or four pots, but I can't imagine how you finish payroll without completing a headcount and then pull it back out of the budget every month. So if it's not happening... then how are you even tracking what your FTEs are?
Casey's especially right, especially if you're talking about salaries that are being paid out of potential grant funds or grant fundings or gifts where you have to have an administrative accountability to those entities as well, and you have to be able to maintain that in order to show your administrative costs is not exceeding the purpose of the grant. This is really kind of automatic nonprofit stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I've worked with another group with the data center in Oakland. Absolutely. That your FTEs and all of that is automatic in order to determine where the where you're assigning the headcount between different foundation grants. Absolutely.
Well, I think we've all had different experiences. I have been doing nonprofits a long time. It depends on the nonprofit. For example, let's give an example why it isn't automatic and easy. Say you're working with a lot of volunteers, which is at the CIFCA. And some of those volunteers come on, work 2 hours 1 month, don't work the next month, 2 hours the next month. You can roll up, you know, people doing occasional work, 3-4 hours, into FTEs, but that is a different set of data collection, a different set of data. You know, who was that person? How many hours did they work? Right now, many of the stations aren't set up to do that. They're set up to roll up FTEs, but that is different than rolling up every single person that walks through there, volunteers, work at non.
Well, if I may, Lonnie, the motion calls for people paid on W-2s and 1099s. The volunteers wouldn't be included.
Different set of data. Still a different set of data. So I'm saying we're asking questions that the people who do the work can answer. We don't have the answers right here. All we have is questions.
Well, and I guess the particular concern, and I can appreciate, and I think Marty's right. I mean, this is hard stuff to manage and keep track of. But if somebody's not doing it or hasn't been doing it, you know, I'd want to know that as well, because if we do have CPB money that's dedicated for certain purposes or other grant money that's dedicated for certain purposes, and we're not doing this accounting, then I would be concerned that we might be jeopardizing our position with that kind of income.
Again, that's a question. And the answer to that is that the division of labor is between what some station does, some part of it, we at National Office do some other part of it. They don't do their internal payrolls. They produce the timesheets, but the payroll is amalgamated by us, and there are different aspects to it. So again, we're talking about questions we don't have the answers to, and we have to let the answers, you know, be done so that we then know and working with some specificity about what is the case, what are people actually doing, and how difficult it will be. I'm not trying to be evasive. I'm just trying to be factual. No matter how many questions we have, we on the phone don't have the answers. And so you're going to have to let the people who do have the answers speak and answer those questions.
This is Patty.
I have Patty, and then I'd like to say something. Go ahead, Patty.
Right. Well, it seems to me that some of these things are, there must be, you know, columns for such things as paying individuals under payroll and 1099 W-2, and I don't know why, if that's all mixed in. I mean, this seems that there should be, you know, columns and being able to sort the disbursements or the information sent to National to be paid would be also in a lump sum that we could easily access, I would think, through the local business manager.
Okay, I'd like to just say that the motion did call for the information to be provided to the Finance Committee members, so I don't see any issue with Finance Committee members talking to the business managers, and if there are problems, discussing those problems with them. But as a formal response, I do think we as a committee have to look at the formal communication that we're going to get, I assume within the next week, according to what Dan said, and we should revisit it in concrete terms on the next conference call.
Well,
that would be my recommendation.
And rather than beat this horse, let me go on the record. What I thought I heard, and I might be wrong, is that any member of the Finance Committee can present to the business manager anywhere and get information and data. I'm not sure that I would not support that. That's inviting chaos, and it's not done in most organizations. I think what I said on the last call, and I'll say again, we've set up a structure where you have a local finance committee, where you have a treasurer, and you have a PNB member who is supposed to handle financial information in an orderly way. We are moving around that and ignoring that structure. And that's not wise. Accountability issues arise, and uneven data information arises, and then people take the information and may or may not use it wisely. So I think it is important to be clear about what the procedures and guidelines are, and so that this thing goes smoothly, as opposed to simply demanding it and thinking that somehow or other it'll all work out. You have, even though it's slower, and I don't see any problem with saying, give the folks a week or two to present and work with them around it. That seems reasonable to me.
Well, if I could just clarify, I wasn't saying that the members could make a demand. The board passed a motion clearly stating what is that there's supposed to be a provision of data to finance committee members by business managers. And so it's appropriate for them to have a discussion. That's different than demanding data.
I think this is Dan, and I do have to go. I just want to wrap up. I think it's been a great discussion and really useful. One thing that I think would be really important going forward would be when we look at resolutions that might have this kind of impact on station staff, station operations, that before we move with those resolutions, that we get input from those stakeholders affected by a particular resolution, LSBs, station staff in this case. It's important that before we both move forward with a resolution like that, that we hear those concerns ahead of time so that we can certainly implement those resolutions better and more smoothly. So,
but you agree, Dan, these requests, I mean, there maybe need to be some time for Lonnie and y'all to get some stuff and information together, and I think that's reasonable. But, I mean, these aren't... you know, these requests aren't totally off the wall.
They're not, Mike. They're not. Yeah. But but there still are additional reports, additional databases. So.
Well, I respect that. I can certainly understand that. You know, you may need some time to get that together.
Yeah, give us a little time. That's, you know, it's not like people are avoiding or playing games here.
Yeah, it's also important to remember that I think, as Marnie pointed out, the extraordinary publications that the business managers and the finance office are already providing, the huge amount of data, cash reports, capital reports, actual versus variance, balance sheets, everything that is being done is way above and beyond what the bylaws call for, what we all call for, what is normal practice. There's just a huge amount of information out there. And they're doing an amazing job in trying to get us all that information on a routine and regular basis. And there's additional requests for much more detail here. And I think we do have to be sensitive to those concerns and needs at the local station level to make sure that they can also do the primary jobs, which we've got them out there doing, raising funds, managing their stations. And we support them in that effort. It's very important. Also support our staff to make sure that they can do the job that we've asked.
Patty here.
Excuse me, who is that?
Patty.
Patty, please, go ahead.
I just want to say that I don't think that it is a... What the information we're getting is above and beyond the bylaws. The board of this foundation is... needs to know whatever they need to know. And if we need to know something... then I would hope that would not be above and beyond the bylaws. And in order to help serve the foundation, we have to have some of these figures. So I, too, know that there's a lot of work being done and everything, but these are certain things that we are asking for, and I do hope that within the week we will get the information from the business managers and managers as to why this is troublesome, and that we'll be able to get that. So I guess I'm asking maybe that we move on and accept this, or if someone makes a resolution about this, or we can just accept it's on the next meeting agenda.
Okay, is there any objection to moving the agenda and revisiting this at the next meeting?
None here. None here. And can we hold off request until, do we need a motion to hold off request until we actually get this report?
If you want to make that motion, you're welcome to.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that we hold off requests until we get the report, which we hope to have by the next meeting, which will be in 2 weeks or less.
I second that.
Mike seconds it. Any discussion on it? Okay, hearing none, can you call the roll on the motion?
Do I have to call the roll? Can you do it by acclamation?
Is there any objection?
Yeah, this is Lauren Object, because within 2 weeks, you know, we don't know what might happen. So that's kind of like all-encompassing. So, you know, I think that we can move ahead without actually putting a motion in to say that I'm not going to ask for any information in the next 2 weeks.
But the other people might, though.
Can I make one point of information? I think to imply that there's some nefarious motives or something in terms of asking for information is not a very
cordial comment to make, in that I think that all of us here support the Pacifica mission, support what we're doing. And let me point out the information, the way it's been presented, like the improvements that Line and the staff have made over the year, how you put the information in there, get the variances. It's not really to help not only the board and Pacifica, but it's to help Line and his staff to understand what's going on. And I think that he probably will say it has helped. Hopefully he can. He will say that. So it's not like us against you and providing information. It's moving Pacifica forward and Pacifica's finances forward. So, again, you know, the comment I made earlier is just that, that, you know, it's if there's some discussion between board members or business managers about what some of these issues may be, perhaps some of these, they can be more firmly spelled out, you know, what the issues really are and what we're really asking for, versus just like putting something out blindly and have us respond, and like I said, and we can be responded for the next 10 years. So, you know, I'm just saying that, first of all, there has to be a level of trust, and that, you know, and to imply that there is some other, something going on in terms of asking for information, that is wrong to state that, because that, I don't believe that anyone supports that here on this committee.
Yeah,
the only two issues that I wanted to raise was one that I know in my station we're in the middle of a fund drive.
Oh, absolutely.
So I just want to, the 2 weeks to me is not going to be a major item in terms of our ability to do what we have to do.
I wouldn't
want them to get, you know, to have to, you know, have someone dropping in like myself to answer, you know, to basically get into this at this point in time.
I'd like to speak against the motion, because I'm not at all pleased with the notion of prohibitions against communication. I think that everybody on the committee is fully capable of having cordial communications with the business manager, and I think that it would actually move the work of the committee forward to speak to them. The business manager can say, I'm sorry, I don't have time to talk to you right now, or I'd rather not, if they want. We're not doing anything beyond that, but they may very well want to have a conversation or be perfectly happy to discuss it in ways that advance our work as a committee. So, and as again, as a general manager, I mean, as a general matter, the notion that a committee would pass a motion prohibiting communication of its members with the staff with whom they need to be interacting doesn't seem to me like good practice. So I'm opposing the motion.
I'm not understanding, Dave, that to be the motion. The motion is
right.
Not.
I'm confused, too. I didn't think so.
What I heard as the sense of the motion was that we hold off for 2 weeks, period, allowing those folks to get together their concerns, given the fund drive and the rest of it, and be ready to report back to the Finance Committee in 2 weeks. That's all I really heard.
What I heard is that we hold off on communicating with the business managers.
For that data, during this period, yeah. I heard. It says give them 2 weeks to get it together. It's around what they can and cannot provide or what the issues or concerns might be. Some of this stuff is going to be doable. Remember, I'm not arguing from the position that all of it's not doable. I'm simply arguing from the position that it's got to get organized and people have to look at the impact on what they do every day. So,
okay, could you restate the motion, Baruti?
I was saying that that we hold off on, you know, in implementing requests for this information until we get there, you know, until the next meeting, which we hope to be held within 2 weeks. And at that point in time, I mean, I didn't word it as smoothly as I worded it more smoothly the first time, but basically that we hold off 2 weeks until we get their response or their concerns as it relates to the items in these motions.
And so, to clarify, is the intent that people on the committee would not contact the business managers to discuss this issue with them?
They can discuss the issue, I guess, in terms of asking for a request to say, we want this information. Can we get this information? Or when can I get this information?
Okay, so the motion is that the Finance Committee members shall not request the data, the headcount data from the business managers. But there's no implication of not.
Not talking to them or anything. No, you could. I mean,
for 2 weeks, we're talking 2 weeks during a fund drive. I think
right.
That's much more than reasonable.
Okay, so that's the motion. Casey, is there any objection to voting it? All right, Casey, can you call the roll?
Sandy.
For the motion.
Mike Martin.
For the motion.
Marnie.
4.
William? LeVar?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I'm against.
Baruti?
4.
Heffley, Patty?
Against.
McFaul is no. Adelson?
I'm the chair. I don't vote unless
oh,
there's
I'm sorry.
A difference.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, so we got 1, 2, 3.
Lonnie
4.
Is a voting member of the committee.
Lonnie, sorry.
For the motion.
Okay. 5 yes and 3 no.
Okay, so the motion carries. Okay, with that, I'd like to move the agenda. The next thing is the CFO report and the... hang on just a moment, and the review of the November and December financials. And actually, before you do that, just as a point of information, Lonnie, I see that we have income statements since going, you know, each month going backwards. I'm not sure that we have balance sheets, and certainly posted on the website, no balance sheets have been posted since August. Do we have those data?
Balance sheets, the balance sheet for December has not been posted. The others have. And the balance sheet's been sent out to the Finance Committee.
We have that.
Yeah, you have that. So it hasn't changed, the December balance sheet. But I will have it posted. He's got a delay in posting it. So.
Okay.
But it's sent to him. So, and as I say, I sent an advanced copy of the December balance sheet to the Finance Committee.
Yep.
And I can resend that, of course.
Okay.
While waiting for posting.
Since we weren't constituted when you did that, could you send it again?
I will certainly do that, then.
Okay.
Okay, so if you could take it away.
Yeah. Well, let me just try to speak to two themes. One of them is looking at, as I went through each station and looked at their financial quarterly results, as some of you may or may not know what I do, is I have a report that is essentially 5 reports in one. The income statement has a current portion, the first 4 columns, state what the financial results for the month have been. So you get YTD, an actual for that month, a budget for the month, and a variance in dollars and a percentage variance. The second report that's there is the YTD, which is to say if you're in the 6th month, it gives you 6 months data, 6 months budget, actual versus variance, budget versus actual. So that's the second component of this thing called the consolidated income statement. Third part of it is I do a forecast, which takes from whatever month we're at, say if you're in the 3rd month, I do what amounts to a 9-month budget. Forecast, which is to say I forecast the next 9 months. And out of that, in the last 4 columns, I get what financial results for each station in the network as a whole will be at September 30th, 2005. So you have a number of reports in this one thing we call the consolidated income statement. Now, down below in that same report, at the request of the board, there's a cash and capital portion of the budget. And that report identifies large cash inflows and outflows. It's not a standard report, and it's not GAAP, but it provides useful information. And over time, I've come to love it, or at least be okay with it, even though it presents problems for me when I go to banks and other places to say, what is that? They don't. It's not something that folks publish normally. So I have to explain what it is. The other part of that cash and capital identifies capital outlays, and both on the budget and an actual basis. So you actually are getting 5 or 6 reports in this one report we call the consolidated income statement with variances and budgets to date. That is to say, it's not just the 12 months divided by the budget items are not divided by 12. Actually happens that 12 monthly budgets given the reality of our business. And so you have some months where the budget is lean or low and some months where it's not just a yearly budget divided by 12. Now, that said, for the benefit of new folks, I want to go to the next level. What
what I'm seeing, and I'll go over each station, first of all, is that our revenue, as I said at the last board meeting, and if you read back my CFO reports, over a year ago, I had stated, we have an older population. Our revenues have been flat. While they have been high compared to previous years, $8 million, I think, in 2000 or 2001, to $13 million in listener support for the last two and projected the third year. Pardon me, I'm getting a little dry here. This is a major trend that we at Pacifica have to pay attention to. The revenues are flat. It is starting to show up in the first quarter. Last year or the year before, we had record quarters, record revenues coming in from the listener support. This trend is not happening. We're now at a point where the revenues are not only not at record levels, we're not increasing from the last four, but we're flat. These stations, it is going back. It is not a case of meeting the goals that we've established in our budget. And that we talked a little bit about at the board meeting, but here they are, encapsulation. History of Pacifica's revenue has been one where folks who discovered us in the 60s have stayed with us over the 20 or 30 years. And while our membership has increased, what has been the driver, at least 50% of that revenue, has been one factor is existing listeners doubling their average gift. I think our data shows somewhere between from $60 to $138. The second factor, of course, is doesn't account for our increase in the listener support fully. Only about half of the increased revenue can be attributed to the increased membership. We have an aging listenership, the average age 51. We have an astounding number of folks who are listening to us at home, 40 to 50% for some stations. Not in the car, not at work, but at home. Our challenge is to replace that aging listenership. That requires, as we mentioned, a youth strategy. That is, we must find the next generation of Pacifica listeners. We explore two or three ways to get that done. They provide, that is, by outreach to the community. We're penetrating the ethnic communities, the Latinos and the blacks, to a larger extent than most community radio stations are. But we need more outreach. We need to bring in youth, and we need to have more fundraising, off-air fundraising strategies that involve the local communities, and we are experimenting with it. The second area that we've done work in and not go to the stations is that we are experimenting at the national level with ways to make revenue. We must develop new revenue strategies, or we as a network will have serious difficulties, especially when you look at the capital items that we need to fund, from everything from physical plant to transmitters to the need to move to new buildings and to solve kinds of problems. So, and that price tag, $12 million alone. And
Lonnie, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
In terms of new revenue, and I appreciate what you're saying, and looking at the old revenue line items, you have $356,666 that was expended on elections this last year. We're not having elections this year.
Yes.
That's old revenue, but it's a new source. What is the plan, or how is the budget strategy being anticipated for that free money, essentially, that won't have to be expended on an election?
Before we do that, Mike, I think that's a specific question on that budget, and could we let Lonnie just finish what he wants to lay out, and then we'll get specific.
I'm almost finished.
Would that be all right, Mike?
Oh, sure. Sure.
Great. Okay, thanks.
I was just trying to answer the question, given the dynamics around revenue, what are we doing? What do we need to be doing? So I sort of gotten through those three or four points. Off-air revenue sources are crucial, and we've made plans, and we've done mail drops, and we found that mail drops aimed at a national acquisition list other progressive organizations will support Pacifica's independent media mission. And we raised $500,000 last year. We're looking to do the same and similar this year. So it's one source. Remote broadcast is another crucial area to explore, especially if that results in increased community support and listenership. The youth strategy, again, and also modernizing our plant. We need to be able to be multi-platform. If we're not, and we're stuck in the analog world, we're going to be flat and perhaps slip backwards. Now, that's the grand picture. Specifics. Let's go to how each station this year is being impacted by what I believe demographics. KPFA, for the first time since in several years, KPFA has reduced listenership revenue. Variance of $173,000 in the first quarter, and on projection, a couple of $100,000. Dollars maybe by year end. Have met with the staff there, general manager, business manager, and department heads just yesterday, strategizing around what to do about that problem, because it can get out of hand very quickly. The outcome in the KPFA situation, they need to reduce expenses. They've developed some preliminary plans around doing that. They need to look at what will be off-air revenue that they can generate to offset the shortfall in the listener support side. It's somewhat of a shock to see KPFA, who's always had record drives and done very well financially, in a situation now where they have to be extremely careful and problem solve. One of the ways in which they will deal with that shortfall is perhaps to not spend $150,000 that they were planning on rehabbing and dealing with a water and foundation problem that they had. But again, when you postpone fiscal plan issues, fiscal plan issues, you're merely postponing them. They will come back, and you will have to pay for them sooner or later. That's KPFA. KPFK, on paper, looking to do well. But as you folks know, KPFA last year, they had a fire, a strike. So a bad drive can impact even a station that looks like they're doing okay in drive one. Well, drive two and drive three may create a different scenario. They're doing okay. They're plus variance, that is to say, above the 1 month, $150, $160. Actually, APFA, they do have negotiations going on that may require some adjustments to that number. Those final contract numbers might be. WPFW, hats off to WPFW. Record revenue, record listeners for WPFW, 73,000 positive variants.
hang on a sec, Mike. If you can mute it with star six.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
KPFT, there are issues at KPFT. If you look at their Arbitron data, they have lost 20-30% of their membership, 30% over the last...
Listenership or membership?
Listenership.
Thank you.
It's gone down.
40%, Lonnie.
Yeah, I mean, that's scary stuff.
It is scary stuff.
Poor
programming choices.
Yes. I think that is their number one issue. And you can look at the recoupment of that listenership drop as a medium to long range issue, but you do need short term solutions in order to make up for that drop in listenership. Projected to be off listenership budget by $41,000 to $50,000, projected to September 30th. Talked to KPFT people yesterday. They are looking at some other strategies, looking at website income as a way to offset some of those listener drops.
Lonnie, how will that jeopardize, or will it jeopardize CPB funding to UT?
It is possible, Mike. That's my nightmare. The CPB will look at that data just like we do and say, you know, we're overfunding that particular station because they fund you based on audience and other criteria, as you know. And they could lose funding compounding, you know, the problem.
Lonnie, for the record, just so you know, we're all speaking fact here. If we fall below a cum of 100,000 listeners Is it true that CPB will cut funding entirely?
Well, I wish I knew the threshold. CPB has an arcane little formula that they use. It's extremely complicated. So I don't know specific numbers, but I do know they have warned us. They did it, actually, 2 years ago,
uh-huh.
where T had a drop in listenership. So I know it's a pretty sensitive threshold.
They
don't tell you, you know.
Well, I was told, third party information. So I was told that the 100,000 mark is the threshold for any funding. And we're there now.
Point of information, that's just false. It may be true in your signal area, but in 1996, what they did was they changed the granting so that for the first time they said you have to meet given audience numbers
right.
in order to receive a CPB grant, and part of that was to drive some of the Healthy Station Project approach to programming so that they count corporate underwriting as listener support. So what happens is that community broadcasters who do not take corporate underwriting, if they're in large signal areas, it's reference to your total population size, can be at risk. But I mean, unless you know what that, I don't know how anybody knows. As Lonnie says, it's not clear what the threshold is.
It's us, lost. Well, at any rate, we don't want to be anywhere near that.
Agreed. Sorry to interrupt.
National office. We hit the national office. Survived last year with these huge legal bills, and we got 300,000 more, mainly by going to mail drops, acquisition mailing lists, basically saying to members of the ACLU, Green Party, and other folks, support independent media, support Pacifica. They did respond. We're going to do it again this year. Why? Because we have no choice. Last year, we absolutely had to do it in order to pay off the legal bills. The stations pitched in, I think, $500,000-$600,000 on legal bills, but we paid out $1 million. So we needed that extra $400,000 to get the lawyers away from our door so we wouldn't be sued by those attorneys looking for their funds. So this year, we are finding that we'll have to do it again. Now, to summarize this PRA. PRA had a very successful on-air drive, but it is on-air. And on-air dollars are very difficult to get. As you all know, the days we spend on the air, for even KPFA, are increasing. 15, 20 days. It's 24, 25 days. All problems for us. Now, to summarize, what to do? What do you do? You got community radio community, where radio and community radio, average station, 45% of stations are in the red. Radio in general has a downward slope on its curve. We have been the exception. We're lucky to be flat. But what to do? And I'll end here by going to one or two crucial variances around cutting expenses. Where am I going? I'm saying in a shrinking revenue scenario, must cut back expenses. I know we cut back expenses to the bone in certain areas. We're going back to that table. Where to cut back? Three or four areas, salaries. Now, people say, well, why do salaries keep going up? Well, we have unions. And those union contracts, most of them are falling due in the next 2 months, September 30th for most of them. There's a union contract at WBAI now in the midst of being negotiated. One just completed at K. Another on the table at W. Those contracts will inevitably increase our costs. The second area, we, like the nation, are hugely impacted by increases in the health and benefit area by 20%. We charge nothing. It is not. We pay 100% of the cost for all of our employees' health, vision, and workers' comp. We're paying 100%. It's fairly rare for many organizations now. But it means that we're absorbing those costs, 10 double-digit increases every year. Been going on for years. Nothing new there. But, boy, Kaiser went up 22% last year. You know, it's hard to anticipate, hard to budget for. So the second driver, aside from salaries, is the cost of benefits. That's true for most organizations. We're no exception. Finally, our operating costs around premiums. If you look at the variances, if you look at, okay, where are the variances? What are the large ones? Positive or negative? They're coming in the donations area, what we call the major donations area. You know that the variance around election costs, huge number for us, $300,000, $350,000. The good news is that we don't have an election this year. The bad news is that the bills from the last one haven't been paid. And that election cost is just astounding for us. So we're still paying those bills off. Still over $300,000 or so left.